Would God ever give a job but not give the tools to complete it? Would he ever give a mission and not the provision? Would he give the challenge but not give the strength? Dare we believe promises like this one? Like this one. There we go. God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will supply every need. I need self-control. Will he supply it? I need wisdom. Will he provide it? I need friends. Will God send them? I need a salary. That was my need. I had no salary. I had a call on my heart, a very distinct assignment, at least I thought. I had committed to move to South America. But I was just a few months from departure. I had a fiance to support. I had a pledge to keep that I'd made to a mission organization. But I had no salary. I was 27 years old. I was midway through my second year of the first church I served. It was in Miami, Florida, and we had kind of a working agreement that the church would continue my salary so I could move to Brazil. But then the leaders of the church said the budget just won't do it. I mean, they said it nicely, but they said it firmly. So what to do? I had a clear call to go. Has that ever happened to you? Do you feel a call, but you don't have what you need to fulfill it? Maybe you feel a call on your heart to be a parent, but the crib is empty. Maybe you feel a call to study medicine, but you have yet to be accepted into med school. Maybe you feel a call to be a foster parent, but have you looked at all the regulations and red tape? You're in a quandary. You're in a conundrum. You're in Zarephath. That's where Elijah and the widow were. And if this is your first time here in a few weeks, we're lesson number 3 in a 12-week study of the life of Elijah. To study Elijah, you've got to go in the Old Testament to the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and you've got to mentally transport yourself back 9 centuries before Christ. In this case, Elijah was in a village called Zarephath, and he and a widow were grappling with that question, would God give an assignment and not the provision? Their stories intersected. Would God told him to go to her, and God told her to take care of him. The word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Did we read that correctly? Elijah, I'm sending you to a widow. Elijah's on his way to being a super saint. He certainly is the best known prophet of the Older Testament. When Jesus is on the earth, Jesus will experience the encouragement of the Mount of Transfiguration and receive 2 visitors from heaven, Moses and I mean, what kind of superstar do you have to be to descend from heaven with Moses to talk to the Son of God? And yet God sends this mighty man to a single, solitary widow in Zarephath. Zarephath sat on the Mediterranean coast, some 100 miles west of Kirith. Kirith, you'll recall, as Travis taught us last week, a collection of ravines in Gilead, and that's where Elijah was hiding out from Ahab, who lived in Jezreel. And now God says, okay, it's time for you to leave the ravines and walk from Kereth to Zarephath. We're about 1 year into what will be a 3.5 year drought. Raise your hand if you know what a drought is. Raise your hand if you've seen what drought can do to a countryside, even to livestock. And so Elijah is sent on this 100-mile hike through dry land. And the drought was exacting its toll. The skies were burnished brass. The naked arms of barren trees stretched toward the heavens. No cloud or dewdrop had been seen in months. A guy could die from thirst, and Elijah could die from attack. Remember, he was a wanted man. Officials from the court of Ahab were seen scouring the countryside, looking for him, for Elijah to leave the safe resources of the ravines of Kereth and march through the dry lands. That was unwise, because he was unprotected. And Zarephath? Here's what you may not know about Zarephath. The religion of Baal had overtaken ancient Israel. And you'll recall that Baal was a false god, and worshipers of Baal engaged in child sacrifice and temple prostitution. What you may not know is that the headquarters, the heart town or city, the Vatican, if you will, of Baal was Zarephath. The equivalent of the mayor of Zarephath was a man named Ethbaal, B-A-A-L, Ethbaal. And he had a daughter named Jezebel. Yep, that's it. Elijah was led to the hometown of his arch enemy. Zarephath was the buckle of the Baal belt. I just don't think you know how hard those are to you don't buy those. You know, there's no online place where preachers go looking for clever phrases, right? You would have laughed at Travis. God told Elijah to stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Okay, this still isn't making any sense. Wouldn't he provide for her? He's the saint, the prophet in making, but the widow is told to provide for him. So it's not stacking up. The mission minor, the distance great, the destination risky. The roles are reversed. And I'm wondering at some point if Elijah didn't think, is this what God does to his prophets? He sends me to Kereth for at least a year of solitary refinement. Little by little, the brook dries up. The drought takes the final flow out of the creek. The puddles shrink until they just become pockets of mud. And at some point, this grizzly-haired, leather-skinned, sinewy-muscled man sets out on that long trek across Israel to that village on the Mediterranean coast. And with each weary step, no doubt he wondered, what is God doing? A hint may be found in the name Zarephath. It means smelting furnace. You ever feel like you're in God's furnace, like he's reshaping you, that he has to melt you down so he can remold you? Zarephath is code name for time of testing. Time of testing. time of shaping. I'm talking to someone who is thinking, oh, I'm in Zarephath right now. This is Zarephath. I always wondered what to call it. This is Zarephath. How is your Zarephath coming your way? Through an extended illness? Through financial struggle? Through a disruptive staff? Through marital stress? Zarephath is an unwelcomed destination. You don't want to go there. Your response is anywhere but Zarephath, please. Yet for reasons maybe yet to be made clear, God has you on the trail to the smelting furnace of discomfort or difficulty and even danger. Why? Because crucibles create character. Crucibles create character. So Elijah arrives in Zarephath with nothing. He's walked days through dry land, purse and tummy are equally empty. His throat is parched, his lips are cracked. And how do you think he feels as he walks smack dab into the middle of enemy territory? And he's supposed to find a widow who will care for him. He looks around and the village bears the strains of the drought. The people are pale. The people are frail. The streets are dusty. The plants are parched. Elijah sighs and he recalls that instruction about a widow. And so he looks and there he spots a woman near the gate, emaciated, dressed in rags, gathering sticks, fatigued and dirty. And he wonders, could this be her? And he called to her and he asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Could a woman be more destitute? She's down to her last batch of flour and oil. She sleeps in an empty bed. She stares at empty shelves. She's got a son she cannot feed. She's got a fear she cannot shake. They're about to die. And again, remember, God's instruction to Elijah included this line. He said, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So she's under instruction as well. She's under assignment. She has been given a call, but she can't feed her son. She can't feed herself. How in the world is she supposed to feed this prophet? And so the question surfaces, will God give a mission without giving the provision? Will he give an assignment and not the tools? The widow must have wondered. God told me to feed this guy. I'm broke. I'm nearly dead. Maybe this explains the exasperation, at least that I hear in her response, as surely as the Lord, your God lives. I don't have any bread. Your God, Elijah, gave me an assignment without giving me the provision. She's convinced that she is ill-equipped, and Elijah is unimpressed. I mean, he's got a call on his heart, a fire in his gut to see Israel return to Jehovah God. But first he gets sent to the ravines where he has to depend upon ravens. And then he has a long hike, a 100-mile hike to Zarephath. And now he's in enemy territory. He makes the trek and he finds the widow. And the widow is unconvinced that she could help him. Elijah could have given up at this point, but I want you to watch what happens. I can just see his thoughts beginning, his mind churning. I've been in this situation before, his thoughts state. Why, when I went to Kereth, there was no food there. There were no fruit trees, no crops. The drought was severe there as well, yet God cared for me every day, day after day. Won't the God who cared for me in the ravine care for me in the village? You see, on-the-job training, Boot Camp Kereth had developed a spiritual muscle, and now he's going to use that muscle in Zarephath. He doesn't minimize the problem, but he maximizes the promise. He tells the lady, don't be afraid, go home. Do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. Do you see what Elijah is doing? He is considering the track record of God. God gave him food day after day in the ravine. Will he not do it yet again? Or in your case, will the God who blessed you in your youth not take care of you in your old age? Will the God who gave you this job not give you the capacity to learn how to fulfill it? Will the God who gave you grace last week not give you grace this week? You see, friends, faith, steadfast faith, has good recall. Steadfast faith remembers God's blessings. Spiritual amnesia creates spiritual wimps. But spiritual recall makes spiritual giants. That's why David said, oh, my soul, bless God, and don't forget a single blessing. Oh, this is going to be bad in Zarephath. Wait, but God protected me when I was in the court of Ahab and Jezebel. God protected me in the ravine. God protected me on the road from Kereth all the way to Zarephath. Won't the God who has gone 3 for 3 go 4 for 4? Or in your case, has God not taken care of you? Has he provided? Could you raise your hand if God's taking care of you? Has his character changed? No. So he will take care of you. He will provide for you. He will give you what you need. Now, the faith of Elijah is contagious, because watch what the widow does. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. Don't read that too quickly. I probably read it too quickly. She went away and did. She went and did. She didn't complain and bellyache. She didn't mope and sulk. She went and did. That's called obedience. How many of you know that favor follows obedience? Favor follows obedience. Turn to your neighbor and say, favor follows obedience. Do you desire the favor of the Lord? Then obey. Obey. She went and did. Now, we all know that sometimes the commands of the Lord, they challenge us, don't they? They always have. God has a way of giving bewildering commands. Noah, please build an ark before an ark had ever been seen. He told Naaman to wash 7 times in the Jordan and he would be healed of his leprosy. Not 6 times, not 8 times, but 7 times. He told Ezekiel to lie on his left side for 390 days and then his right side for 40 days. Joshua is told to march his army around Jericho every day for 7 days. That's an interesting military strategy. Isaiah is told to strip naked, or at least to his underwear, and walk the streets for 3 years. Peter is told, hey, get out of the boat and walk toward me. Martha is told, I know your brother's dead in the tomb, but roll the stone away. And you and I are told to trust God when affliction afflicts our kids, when addiction attacks our family, and when those we love are in a prodigal pig pen. Just keep trusting me. Keep obeying me. We're told to give God 10%, the first 10% of every penny, every dollar we make. We're told to gather every week and sing songs and hear a sermon and break bread and drink a cup. We're told to be baptized in water and in the Spirit. All of those are commands that from the outside looking in may look a little bit curious, but they separate the would-be from the will-be. And Elijah obeyed. The widow obeyed. And guess what happened? The scripture says there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Day after day after day, the widow, the prophet, and the widow's son sat down and had a miracle for a meal. Now, the prophet and the widow predated the Apostle Paul by some 8 centuries, but you can see them offering a hearty amen to the words of Paul. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you what? Need, you will, look at this, abound in every good work. Elijah learned that God would give him everything he needed. The widow learned that God would give her everything she needed. If God commands, God will provide. That's what Deanlin and I learned. I never finished that salary story, did I? Just a few months before I was supposed to move to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I had no salary. I had a fiance. I had a commitment. I had a call on my heart, but I had no income. The church leaders decided that the budget just couldn't sustain it. But they did something else. They brought the need to a midweek prayer gathering our church in central Miami had. And they told the church, we need to pray about this. And in the middle of the prayer, Bob Forkum stood up and he said, God, if you'll give me these 2 Burger Kings in Central Florida, I'll use the profit to support the Licato family. Let me tell you about Bob Forkum. I know that was weird, wasn't it? How many of you know where Burger King began? Miami, Florida. Bob Forkum was the first ever franchisee to Burger King. And by the time I met him in the late 70s, he was in his late 70s and really, really rich. And he loved to give money away. He had his eye on 2 restaurants he wanted to begin in Central Florida, but it was getting tangled up in the red tape. So he stood up there in the prayer meeting and he said, Lord, if you'll give me these 2 Burger Kings, I'll make sure the Licatos go to Brazil. Can we table that part of the conversation of Bob negotiating with God? We've talked about that. I love Bob, of course. think he was just a little off target there in his prayer. But that's okay. Because you know what? God gave him those two Burger Kings. And for 5 years, every month, Dylan and I received a handwritten check from Bob and Elsie Forcombe. And we joined our names with the names of Elijah and the widow and learned that if God gives an assignment, he'll give the provision to meet it. Did God bring you here today just to hear that? He's given you an assignment. And maybe your need is not bread and oil. Maybe it's not even a salary, but maybe it's more strength or wisdom or answers or insight. God will give you what you need when you need it. You say, yeah, Lakato, that's a great promise if you're Elijah, you know, if you're destined to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. But what about me? I'm just an insignificant person out here in Nowheresville. Oh, like the widow? What was her name? Yeah, I don't know either. Because she's, well, nameless in Scripture. Yeah, God takes care of the famous. It seems to me he takes care of the nameless. He gave them what they needed when they needed it, and he will do the same for you. Here's the principle. God will give you what you need when you need it. I know you would rather have it all right now, right? You'd rather have a bank account full to get you through your life or a store closet full of courage even long before you need it, or maybe even some convictions that you're going to need 10 years from now. But that's just not how God works. You say, Max, I don't have what it takes to face the challenges of tomorrow. And I say, yeah, that's okay. It's not tomorrow yet. But you will have what you need when you need it. You will receive what you need when you need it. And I want you to hear me. God's word to the widow is God's word to us. The flour, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry. It just won't. How about us? Elijah spoke with faith. The widow reacted with faith. Will we do the same? The scripture says, not one of all the Lord's good promises have failed. Has he not taken good care of us? Has he not taken care of you up until now? Would he bring you this far only to watch you fall? No, your needs will be met. You will be refreshed. Receive that. Your ministry in Zarephath is not easy, but it comes with the promise. God is with you. He has gone ahead of you. Are you lonely? God is your friend. Are you weak? God is your strength. So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Amen. You're not down to your last spoon of flour. You're not just a scoop away from hunger. You have the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, watching over you, taking care of you. So inhale his help and hope. Sleep well tonight. For the God who cares for you today, he's already involved in your tomorrow. Amen.